You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's a Monday, it's time for personal finance, and with all these conversations we try to get as productive and as helpful as possible with these segments. This week we're taking a look at a very painful side of finance, and that's what to do from a financial perspective when going through a divorce. Nobody likes to have those conversations, but the reality is they are real, and with the growing rate of divorces in South Africa, these are probably going to be coming up more and more often. Joined on the line by financial advisor at Momentum Financial Planning, Leonie O'Connell, to take a look at this and see if we can best prepare ourselves. Good evening, Leonie. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by understanding some of the financial risks that come with an event like a divorce.
Jimmy, I think obviously there's huge financial implications for both parties involved in case of divorce. Most instances, we'll have to set up separate households. There's a direct impact on our retirement savings. You have maintenance, children possibly changing schools, and duplicate financial expenses in a case of a divorce.
Some of those sound very obvious and very familiar, but one of the other ones that we often don't think about is that the actual divorce process itself is a costly exercise in itself. Everything from legal fees to understanding how things are going to be divided and all of that, that cost in itself is something a financial planner should be able to plan for, or it's something that you have to consider when looking at the planning process.
100% agree with you, Jimmy. That is a huge expense that is incurred at point of divorce. But I think that's what makes it so essential to have proper legal advice and financial advice when entering into a marital regime, when you actually get married. You know, that from the point go, that you have those boundaries in place, that the contract's in place, and that everybody knows where they stand in case of a divorce, that you don't have to fight those arguments at that point. You know, elevating costs unnecessarily when you do actually get divorced.
I was going to come to that, Leonie, to say that a lot of conversation has been had around having a antenuptial agreement, or a prenup as it's more commonly referred to, and there's a lot of misconceptions around that. My partner doesn't trust me, this doesn't make sense, why are we having this in place? Let's look at that in a bit more detail around how preventative measures can help in the event of, or in the unfortunate event of, a divorce, because nobody wants to go through a divorce. Nobody gets married anticipating a divorce, but preventative measures could make it easier.
100%, Jimmy. I know this sounds cliche, and I always say to my clients and anybody I engage with, and unfortunately, it is a fact that the person that you get married to is not the person that you're going to get divorced from. So it is very important that both parties are protected going into the marriage. So it's not about trust, or not about planning and setting up to fail. It's just to ensure that everybody's best interest is taken care of in the event of something happening and we actually have to get to a divorce table. Something that people also don't consider post-divorce that I would like to raise also, Jimmy, is people don't think about the fact that they have to change their wills. So in case of a divorce happening, people often neglect their will. There's so many things happening in the legal process. You know, as you said, the divorce, the child orders, the maintenance orders, that we don't think of actually changing our wills. And a will be enforced if you don't change your will 3 months after your divorce. The court will accept that you don't want to change that. So if something happens to you, your will be enforced. So if you haven't changed your will and everything goes to your ex-spouse now, the court will enforce it as it stands. So that's something that people also need to consider in divorce proceedings.
You bring up the will, Leonie, but I want to go back to the conversation, or the point that you made earlier around the retirement impact. I remember when we started implementing a two-pot, or we were discussing two-pot prior to the September 1 implementation, there was a lot of concern from a financial advisor point of view that there was a conflict in divorce law and this new amendment to the retirement laws that were being put in place. Has that conflict been cleared up now? And what do we need to know around the retirement considerations where it relates to divorces?
Jimmy, I think when it comes to divorce and retirement planning, obviously, depending on the marital regime, your spouse have potential to actually access your retirement savings when you do get divorced. And again, in this instance, I think it's crucial to have a discussion with a financial advisor so that they know exactly what that impact is on your retirement savings and that you can manage that going forward. You know, sometimes it's better to actually realize assets and give your spouse rather a cash portion than actually access your retirement savings. So if you are due X as a part of your divorce settlement, rather sell that expensive car or sell some property to free up some cash and actually make the payout instead of actually delving into your preserver or into your pension or your provident fund.
That's very useful, because sometimes you think that division of assets or addressing those issues is something you can always do at a later date, or you're forced to do it. And I think we often don't realize that if you sit down with a financial advisor, you sit down with someone that has been through this process as a professional, you can actually navigate the conversations slightly differently and lead to a more peaceful resolution or more peaceful outcome. Leonie, when it comes to those other expenses, you mentioned something that stuck with me around the doubling up of expenses, because now suddenly we used to be one household incurring one electricity bill. Now it's two households and two electricity bills, and you have to kind of navigate that aspect of it. How does that affect the budget?
That has a significant impact on the budget. So we'll often just think of split costs, split rental, split bonds, like you now mentioned, split groceries, split water and electricity. But there's also significant things that come into play, like medical aid, for example. If you have two main members on a medical aid, you know, if your partner decides to have their own medical aid or yourself, that's an extra cost that you're incurring. Also, potentially something we don't look at is short-term insurance. If your partner had always paid the short-term insurance, you are now taking over short-term insurance, your own short-term insurance with no claim history. So your premium might be significantly higher also. And again, there, I think navigating just as a married couple, but operating as individuals so that you maintain your identity, your own credit record, your own short-term history, claim history, so your own retirement savings, so that when you do, if a divorce does happen, you know that you are and can function as a solid like individual without having to incur extra expenses as a result of that.
Nobody likes the idea, but you'd rather be prepared for it than not. I think we'll leave the conversation there, Leonie. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. That's Leonie O'Connell, who's a financial advisor at Momentum Financial Planning, joining me to take a look at the financial implications of going through a divorce.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.